So good morning. I want to welcome everyone to an 8:30 a.m. talk because this is, I think, a very critical topic that we've been involved in continuously, and I really think the future has yet to unfold. So it gives me great pleasure to represent the National Coalition of SCD Directors, which oversaw and conducted this national survey. So the background for this talk is that we know that the successful prevention and control of sexually transmitted diseases requires a stable, well-funded state and local public health infrastructure. However, the current economic recession has impacted program activities throughout the country, but this impact is unknown and undocumented. Our objectives for this survey was to describe the program capacity and the impact of the current economic recession on STD control programs in the United States, and describe STD program contributions to public health preparedness activities. We conducted a self-administered survey of STD program directors in state and local health departments. These eligible jurisdictions included program directors from 50 United States, 17 local health departments, including local health departments from the major metropolitan and municipal jurisdictions, and including 8 U.S. territories. The survey was conducted during the month of September 2009. Of the 75 jurisdictions that were eligible, 64 completed the survey, which gave us a response rate of 85%. Respondents consisted of 75% were from states, 19% were from local public health departments, including cities and counties, and 6% were other project areas. So these are our results. The large majority of STD programs experienced funding cuts in 2008 and 2009. 50% of jurisdictions had cuts in state and local support, and 56% had cuts in federal funding. Federal funding cuts included cuts in the Infertility Prevention Project Grant, the Comprehensive STD Prevention Systems Grant, and the Syphilis Elimination Cooperative Agreements. As a result of shortages, both from the state and local sources of funding, state and local governments had to respond by enacting the following actions that reduced program capacity. Salary freezes and salary reductions were enacted by 69% of jurisdictions. 50% of jurisdictions implemented furloughs and shutdown days, and 28% of state and local governments enacted layoffs. The furlough days ranged from 1 to 30 days, affecting some or all staff. In some jurisdictions, it affected only non-union staff, and some jurisdictions affected both union and non-union staff. And shutdown days ranged anywhere from 1 to 12 shutdown days in state and local governments. Regarding the layoffs, layoffs really ranged all across the board from different job categories, ranging from not only support staff like clerks and administrative staff, but also core public health staff that in prior times were quote unquote protected, which included frontline disease investigator staff, nursing staff, nurse practitioners, physicians, and epidemiologists. There was a reduction in the size of the STD program workforce over the last 10 years. We wanted to look at trends, and we looked at three indicator years, 1999, 2005, and 2009. In 1999, there were roughly 1,500 state STD program employees across the United States, as reported by the 45 jurisdictions. And this number had declined to over 1,300 by 2009, representing a 12% decline in the size of the STD program workforce. Similarly, The disease investigation, disease intervention specialists workforce also reflected a decline during this 10-year period, dropping from 759 DIS in 1999, reduced down to 631 disease investigators in 2009, representing a 21% decline in the DIS workforce across state and local health departments. Vacancies were problematic. 63% of STD programs reported having staff vacancies in 2009, and program directors reported having problems filling these vacancies, including experiencing hiring freezes in 63% of jurisdictions, lack of funds to support the positions in 57%, hiring delays by human resources departments in about half of the departments, and one-third of health departments experienced difficulties finding qualified candidates. Of note, 9% of health departments reported having no problems filling vacancies. We also surveyed the capacity of clinical care for STDs across the country. And from 1999 to 2009, the United States experienced declines in the number of categorical STD clinics, as reported by the 47 jurisdictions that had categorical clinics within their field. In 1999, there were 463 categorical clinics reported by program directors across the country, and by 2009, that number had declined from 463 to 420, representing a 10% decline in the number of categorical STD clinics across the United States. A similar trend was seen in the number of STD clinicians across the US. That STD clinicians included physicians, nurse practitioners, and mid-level health providers. In 1999, there were 126 STD clinicians across the country, and by 2009, it had declined to 104 clinicians, representing a 21% decline in the number of STD clinicians that were reported by state and local health departments. As a result of all these changes, there had to be service adjustments due to declines in the capacity and staffing levels experienced by state and local governments. So 40% of jurisdictions reduced the levels of disease intervention that were delivered in the community. 37% reduced STD laboratory services, 32% reduced STD clinical care services, 31% reduced STD screening tests that were provided in the communities. And a few health departments even reduced hepatitis vaccination, HIV testing, and HPV vaccinations. So we also surveyed health departments regarding the public health preparedness activities and H1N1 response. 84% of STD programs had staff trained in public health preparedness activities. These included fit testing for respirators, incident command trainings, preparedness activities trainings that were conducted at the state and local level. Two-thirds of STD programs directly participated in the H1N1 influenza outbreak response activities in spring of 2009. And at the time of the survey, 76% of STD programs anticipated participating in H1N1 response during the 2009 and 10 influenza season. So the other activities that were documented related to H1N1 response included half of STD programs detailing staff to H1N1 response, having DIS, disease investigators, participate in H1N1 investigations, epidemiologists working on H1N1 response activities, as well as detailing medical and program staff to assist with the administration of flu vaccines. There are several limitations, the largest of which that this is a cross-sectional survey, and these data are time limited. We know anecdotally from talking to program directors across the country that their activities in H1N1 response was much greater than they had anticipated, and additional cuts were enacted in the last 5 months. We conclude that state and local STD program capacity and infrastructure has severely eroded. Without additional support for state and local programs, STDs and HIV will increase, and local capacity for emergency response will diminish. Funding to support STD control and public health infrastructure is urgently needed. Capacity reductions also come at a time of increased demand for public health response. To put this in a larger context, it is very important that this presentation documents the specific cuts that have been affected to STD programs nationwide. However, we are not alone. There have been several other important documents that have been published across in the last few months that document similar findings. The Center for the Study of Health System Change published a briefing regarding the impact of the economic recession. The National Association of City and County Health Officials documented that nearly half of all health departments lost skilled workers, with a cumulative 23,000 job losses in public health in between 2008 and 2009. NASTAD, the National Alliance of State and Territorial AIDS Directors, also have documented that 45% of jurisdictions that were NASTAD members experienced cuts, both federal cuts and local cuts, with 74% of jurisdictions reporting cuts to HIV prevention activities and half of states reporting cuts to the AIDS drugs assistance programs. And this most recent report, published by the Trust for America's Health and the Robert Wood Johnson's Foundation, further document the level of cuts and the impact of the economic recession on the public health enterprise. It also explicitly lays out the federal, state, and local investment in public health, and distinguishes what are our specific obligations for public health, both at the state and local level. There are larger questions that I hope really will come out of this discussion. We asked the questions that were highlighted during this conference. These questions include, what will STD programs look like in the future with healthcare reform with an expanded insurance capacity? How can STD programs assure the healthcare quality, access, and outreach of which these are not guaranteed by health insurance reform? How will STD programs coordinate public health activities with the private sector and other non-traditional partners? How do we engage the private sector? How will STD programs assure access to the uninsured and marginalized? We will still continue to work with incarcerated populations, populations that fall through the cracks, that remain uninsured or have other issues that limit their access to the insurance opportunities put forth by health insurance reform. What is the role of categorical STD clinics in this new landscape? Have we articulated the value of STD clinics, and do our politicians and funders know the value of STD clinics to STD control and surveillance activities in the United States? What are the essential skill sets needed by the public health workforce? How can we retool the resources and the staff that we have to meet in this new landscape? And what metrics, very importantly, what metrics will we use to evaluate these health outcomes? So I put forth these questions, and I hope that we can have this further discussion throughout this session. I would like to acknowledge the co-authors on this paper, especially the NCSD members who responded to the survey, the board of directors, and especially Jeffrey Levy with the Trust for America's Health. Thank you.